What is up, Boiler Nation? It is Thursday night, February 12th, 2026. Brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown Podcast is streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page and our YouTube channel. Hit that like button, that follow button, that subscribe button, and that notification bell so you know whenever we are going live on Facebook and on YouTube. And you can follow the Boiler Breakdown all across social media at Boiler Break Pod. Full crew tonight. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Evan Webb, and Aaron Lynch are in the house. Fellas, how we doing? I hope your blood pressure's a little lower than it was Tuesday night.
It's just started to come down. Yeah, that was a night.
Wow. You know, and I had talked to Aaron earlier that afternoon, and he was already convinced we were going to lose in Nebraska, beat Iowa.
Okay.
I said to flip. I was more confident going to Nebraska than I was going into Iowa. Now, that was before Iowa went into Maryland and lost. And we can talk about if that changes our feelings on the game or not. But, man, what a roller coaster of emotions Tuesday night was.
Just putting it lightly. Yeah, I mean, it was one of those, obviously, you know, Purdue had that three-game skid, come back, look great against Maryland. But Maryland, they're bottom of the barrel, the Big Ten. But it's still nice. You know, Purdue played well, came back against Oregon, and didn't look good. Granted, they had Biddle back, which was huge for them. You know, he's an all-conference type of player, but still, like, just looked, you know, that game went down to the wire essentially until Fletcher hit a big three at the end. Yet I didn't feel, which is just, it sucks for this year, but just didn't feel confident going in just because the team's just been so inconsistent against a team like Nebraska, who was coming off some tough losses, especially one at home to Illinois. Knowing, you know, Purdue's been buried at the bank before when, you know, even the EE team a couple years ago got absolutely obliterated because they just were just firing away. Just one of those nights where they were hitting everything, and just given this team's defense against the three, that was always a possibility that could happen. But I mean, Purdue kind of came out and threw, for once, it felt like threw a punch, kind of right away. Obviously you knew Nebraska was going to make a run even when we were up 16, but obviously frustrating to get to let it get down to where we were trailing at the end. But I mean, hell of a way for the team to kind of, you know, go and get to overtime and then, you know, be able to find it to not let that massive lead slip affect how they played in overtime.
Now, going back to the Oregon game, when we were down, it was under a minute left. What were you guys thinking? Because I was doom and gloom. I thought, my God,
I was like, we're going to lose to freaking Oregon. Yeah.
The slide's going to start.
Yeah. I was like, we're going to lose to freaking Oregon. And like, that's it. Like, you know, pray for a four seed at best. Like, be another kind of painter team that gets the, you know, it's a 4 or 5 seed, gets to the Sweet 16 and kind of gets ran out of the gym by the one seed. That was kind of going through my head of like, you know, and obviously the thoughts of where the preseason ranking was, which is wherever it was. But yeah, it was, it was not good.
I'm the only optimist here. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm not disagreeing.
I'm not disagreeing at all. Yeah. It's just, I don't like it. I don't like it.
National title contenders teams have to win games like this.
I agree.
You had to win games like the USC game.
Yeah.
Tuesday night was the best effort this calendar year so far, in my opinion.
I agree. 100%. Yeah.
And it shows that when you play hard, this team's hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is playing hard consistently from every single member of this team is impossible at times.
Yeah.
But
that's where it's the most frustrating thing is just like, sorry to cut you off there, but like, we've seen what this team can do. We've seen the Texas Tech where we beat the absolute brakes off them by 30, all the way to, you know, losing at Indiana where the effort just wasn't there at all. Like, and just like the gap between those two teams is huge. And I feel like we've seen every step along the way of different iterations of this team win or lose. And it's, but yeah, to your point, like they busted their ass. I mean, Oscar was a man possessed out there. Trey was rebounding really well. Granted, Nebraska sucks as a rebounding team, but still, it's nice to see Purdue dominate on the board when they should have, because that's not always been the case.
Well, that, where I want to lead in my trivia question, because this is where my actually I was thinking about this during the game. So I want you guys to answer, and if you've seen this, then I'm sorry. But Purdue out-rebounded Nebraska 54-37, which was huge. Trey just was going up, and Clough was getting rebounds. I know they don't have size, and when Mass went out, it was kind of a mismatch there. But they also won a turnover battle, which has always been my big thing, is take care of the ball, create turnovers, get points in transition, you're going to win games. What is Matt Painter's win percentage when he wins both the rebounding battle and the turnover?
Oof. What's the do you have the wins and losses like total?
Yeah, I can give you the wins and losses total.
It's what's the total number of
183.
Wins a turnover battle and a rebounding battle. I'm going high. I'm going 85%.
Okay.
I'm going, I don't know what the percentage is. So you said it was what was the total? 100 and what?
183 games.
I'm going to go high. I'm going to go, he won 170 of those games.
You are very close.
I knew it had to be. Was it
167 at a 91% clip?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
6%.
It had to be, because it takes so much to, if you do that, like, I mean, wasn't one of the losses? No, we didn't win the rebounding war against Illinois. They definitely out-rebounded us. I feel like there was a game. Was it the UCLA game where we won the rebounding and turnover and lost? Was that one of the losses? Like, it was something. There was some stat where, like, it was like pretty damning stat that we lost.
I can't remember if we won the turnover battle. I know we won the rebounding battle because Bill Odo wasn't that effective on the glass.
We won the rebounding battle in Indiana, but I have no idea about the turnovers.
Yeah.
Top of my head, but
that's what I was thinking of. I was trying to think of a game where we should have dominated the glass, but we didn't. That was the Indiana game where we.
Yeah, even though we were, even though we out rebounded them, like especially in the first half, it was awful.
Yeah, it was like I think we ended up like rebounding them by like 5. And I was like, I remember like in December, I was like, we're gonna out rebound that team by 25. And we didn't.
And looking back at the Nebraska game, I mean, like Aaron mentioned, we win the turnover battle, we dominate the boards. It's like, how is this a close game? How did this game go into overtime? How did Purdue blow a 22-point lead? Well, they had some untimely turnovers. It was like 3 straight, which Nebraska came down, got points, got them going. But also, just missing shots, going cold. Yeah. Purdue opens the game all fire. That's what it's like, all right, they're ready to play. They're ready for the moment, on the road, hustle environment, locked in. Not the slow start that we've been accustomed to seeing. And then they just go cold and end up shooting 46 threes, which is 10 more than the second most in Purdue history. One away from tying the most in the Big Ten in a single game. It's just unbelievable. I mean, Fletcher Lawyer shot 17 himself.
Yeah, we shot more in Nebraska, which is wild.
And a lot of them were good looks.
Oh, they were good looks. They
were not going down.
At some point, you got it, though, if you're Fletcher, literally pump, fake, and drive. Like, get the foul, get to the line. You're a good free throw shooter. You got to get the points.
Mr. Bell says 22 points is nothing anymore. I never felt good at any point. Yeah, at halftime we were up 16, but I'm like, we should be up more.
I feel like we should have been up 30. Like the way that we had missed like so many open shots. I was like, man, if we just hit half of those, we are like, this is a Texas Tech type game. Even like at halftime, my wife, I was like, sitting there, I was obviously nervous. And she goes, you're nervous? I'm like, yeah. She goes, why are you nervous? I was like, well, for one, this team came back again, team, like in half of that minus, you know, when they were down 16. And she's like, well, you guys are better than us.
I thought about ordering you a stress test, like for the next day.
I would have failed.
I mean,
you know, law of averages, they shot like crap in the first half. I was like, they're gonna find, water's gonna find its level for them. And sure enough, it did. And it came like at 10 when we weren't hitting shots. And I just knew that they were gonna make a run. I was hoping it was like maybe get down to single digits, but not nothing like where they got it down to whatever. Like when Mass had that foul at the end, like I was like, we're gonna lose this.
Oh yeah, I thought we were. I thought there's no way he was gonna miss the free throw, and then we weren't gonna. Yeah, we weren't gonna capitalize at the offensive end. I thought we were done. Yep.
Yeah,
I I had full faith.
I did it like with this team up until the three game, and that shook me a little bit. Like I go back to the Iowa game when we were down 9 in the second half. I like had so much faith going, this is going to be, we're going to win. I am full. I agree with Mitch here.
Yeah, Mitch Melton said, even though Fletch didn't shoot great, I'd rather see him go 4 for 17 than 1 for 5. I hate when he stops shooting. That has hurt us too. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Got to drive though. I mean, he could pump fake and drive instead of hopping. I think him getting the foul line, getting in, is going to be beneficial, especially gives everyone a breather too. Because someone's going to foul him, especially he comes off the line. They're going to be over aggressive and rotating, and he can easily get to the foul line. I really believe that. I mean, he's shown it before. I want to say this. We're complaining about the style of how we won a game against a top 10 team
I know.
Right now, guys.
I was talking to my dad.
Come on.
I've never felt worse about a top 10 win on the road. Like,
yes.
After about 10 minutes, I was fine. But that first, like, after that game happened, I was just like, come on. Like, whoa. Granted, again, like, it's, you know, obviously watching the Illinois game later that night where they lose to Wisconsin. Granted, they weren't up as much as we were, but they were at home. They lost, like,
up 7 game. Late, though.
Yeah, up 7 late and blow that lead. Like, it's like, look, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah. And cool. But like, I think what makes me so frustrated, this is a senior led team by three guys who have been through everything. And you weren't seeing that the other night at the end.
Yeah.
We were still immature when we were that age. It didn't matter if they're seniors. Like,
it doesn't matter. You have basketball. Experience. This is a rarity.
So much basketball.
For college basketball, no other team has this luxury. This might be the last Purdue class we ever see go 40 years together. Yeah. And you got to take advantage of it.
It probably is, but they're going to learn from it. It's called learning, and it's called experience for a reason. You can't draw on certain experiences, because two of those years outside of their freshman year, the second year, they had the best player in Purdue history playing with them. Hands down, best player that ever came through. They didn't have to do anything but being a supporting cast and throw the ball down low, pretty much. And they had the guys hit shots. They had to hit shots when it counted, correct? But do you think TKR had a big role in those seasons? No, he played well in the tournament on that run, but he wasn't really the guy down below. He wasn't the offensive guy. Now he has to be second fiddle to a guy down low in the post that he's trying to play off the ball of.
And can't give him the ball close in a close game. No. Like, you can't make free throw.
No, you can't. And the only way you can get offense from him is truly him play the five by himself.
Yeah.
And put Jacobson out there wing and hope he can create, because he can't create with the paint actually clustered up with a bunch of guys on him, because they're just going to foul him and put him on the line. I mean, I trust the experience of this. Trust their learning ability. We beat a top five team. You even said on Saturday, just beating 1-0. Now we're 2-0. Like, it is truly what I think this team's going to continue to do. Mitch Melton says he's not the guy now. That's part of the problem. It's true. He's not. And that's because Painter knew there was a weakness. We didn't have rim protection. We didn't have – I mean, we had rebounding, but we didn't have the level of rebounding and physical presence Clough has.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for going on a tangent, guys. But
no, you're fine. You're fine.
No, we are complaining about a top 10 road, which is like
– I know.
Like, it's hilarious.
Like, this isn't football.
No, it's not football, but there's still concerning things that have not been fixed. And they started the last 2 minutes UCLA, and they're still showing up.
It is, but it's two different teams. But what we saw on Tuesday night shows that what we saw at the beginning of the year, if you play hard, every single one, and put effort and lay it out on the line, the results will come.
Yep.
Yeah. And I believe that after the game, like you said, we won the game because you played hard. Like,
yes,
it wasn't because we hit free throws when we need to, or CJ hit two big threes, which awesome. It was good to see him knock down some shots, but it was because they busted their ass.
Yeah.
And they were bloodied and they were beaten from it. And they knew it was going to be hard.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be easy from here on out. If they want to accomplish what they want to accomplish, they still now have the Big Ten title in sight. They do, with Illinois losing to Wisconsin. You have to beat Michigan next week.
Yeah.
You have to beat Iowa. But if you do run the table, lose one coming at home, after Michigan State, it should be, I mean, outside of Wisconsin, but that's senior day. I mean,
at Ohio State, it makes me nervous just because they've beaten us 2 years in a row. Some reason
they got Painter's number for some reason. Yeah,
they're keeping Jake Diebler employed.
I just don't. I trust this staff. I trust these players. They've had hardships. We all have hardships with whatever we do.
Sure.
They have overcome it. They've overcome it before. They've played above their skill set, especially last year, to make a run and get hit by Houston. But they played their ass off that time. Mm-hmm. They know when they play hard, what that's on the wall and everything, the back of their shorts, they can literally accomplish anything.
Yeah. I mean, very well said. I think, like, you can look at Tuesday night's game a few different ways. I mean, yeah, we blew that 22-point lead. That's concerning. And I think every Purdue fan will be nervous with any lead the rest of the year just because that's how we think about things. But also, they were able to blow that lead, go into overtime, which the place was rocking, even get down in overtime, still find a way to win the game at a top 10 venue.
Yeah. And I do think part of it, too, is because it's Nebraska. If that was at Michigan, at Michigan State, you know, at Illinois, like a top 10 team, like, it sucks. But it's like, I mean, yeah, it's Illinois. Like, they're gonna make a run. But because it's Nebraska, and it just feels like, you know, plucky old Nebraska who still hasn't won a tournament game in their program's history. But they do have a number, a single-digit number next to their name. So you have to take them seriously. And they've kept it, you know, for a long time. I still don't know if they'll end up a top 10 team, but hey, they've been playing really, really well so far. But I think that's also part of it, just because it's like, it's not a typical powerhouse, so to speak. And that just feels, you know, less than.
One thing that was concerning to me, and hopefully it's just an outlier going forward, but not be able to clinch the game for the free throw line with our three best free throw shooters. Braden missing them, Fletcher missing them, CJ missing them. I'm like, who can we trust? Because love Trey, but I do not trust him at the line. I don't trust Oscar at the line. I mean, the guy who had stones in overtime hit them both with Jakari. Even though I kind of wanted him to miss that second one.
Just to start the clock.
Yeah, they would have had it. They had no timeouts. They would have had to throw in an 80-footer. And I was more nervous. Oh, God, what if we make it? They throw it in. We somehow foul or something. I don't know. I was doomsday Tuesday night. But, I love it. Like, fans, like, oh, we need to practice our free throws. I'm like, I guarantee you they practice the free throws every damn day. That's not the thing.
I was watching Brayden's interview after the game, and he's like, no one's going out there trying. And Painter says it too. We're not going out there trying to miss. This is not always this, not equivalent, but like, it's like a kicker in football. It's like, it's not like he's trying to go out there and shank a kick. Like, it just happens.
They ain't robots.
Yeah. No, I know. And really, across college basketball, not that I've watched a ton outside Purdue this year compared to other years, but I've seen more front ends of one-on-ones missed this year than like any other year. I don't know why. But this leads me to my blind rankings. I got 5 Purdue players in our lifetime. I want you to rank them 1 through 5 in your confidence of that guy at the line late in the game.
This is a good one. I do want to give another stat. Did you know Braden passed Etuan for most minutes in Purdue basketball history?
I did see that.
Okay. Yep.
Well, Iron Horse.
I didn't realize he passed Etuan.
I didn't either. I just knew he had the most minutes.
Yeah.
All right. We'll start with one guy on the current team, Fletcher Loyer.
You said at the free throw line, right?
At the free throw line, late in the game, crunch time, game's close. Like, your confidence in having this guy at the line. Okay, maybe like Fletcher right now, modern day. Some of these other guys, like, no, we're not going to throw out 30-some-year-old so-and-so. But back in their playing day. Like, spoiler alert, Mitch, he's not on these blind rankings. No, Jill Eastern is not on these rankings.
That would 100% be my number one.
Which hands he's shooting with?
Yes, it doesn't matter.
There's times though when he got there was a stretch there where he was nails.
There was that game at Ohio. He was like 8 from 8 from the line.
Yeah, and he had a sweet dunk. Yeah, I'm gonna do a cop out. I'm gonna go 3. I have a lot, I actually do have a lot of faith, and he missed some.
I know you love the guy. That's kind of why I put him in there. So
yeah, even against Oregon when he was at the line, I had full faith, and I think he missed one in that game too.
He makes a lot of them with shooters roll. If you notice, like they're not always just swish. It's around a little bit.
I'm gonna cop out and go three.
Right. You're probably copping out for the same reason because I'm thinking Dakota and Kleiner on this list too.
I've got someone else in my mind for number one.
Marchus.
yeah.
I'm going to put Fletcher at four.
Four?
That's okay. Fair. That's fair.
Well, Aaron just mentioned one of these guys, the Midwestern Cowboy, Dakota Mathias.
That's two. That's for sure.
I think that's two, yeah.
He's pretty reliable, even with just jump shots late in games. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I've ever been like more confident with a guy when he had the ball in his hands and making the right play than Dakota. He was so smart.
I think he's one of those up there with Etuan of like probably we should probably do a list of like most underappreciated Purdue players because he's got to be.
Oh, yeah.
Part of just because like who they play with. He played with Biggie. He played with Carson. He played with, you know,
even Vince overshadowed him. Yeah. Vince.
Yeah. PJ, all that. Mm-hmm. And obviously Etuan played with Robbie and Juwan. But yeah, Dakota, it was in hot. Yeah. Like Dakota was just, it was awesome.
Man, you guys keep bringing up names on my list. So I just got to throw out the names. Etuan Moore.
No. I don't remember what his percentage was.
I don't either, but
here, I'll look it up. You give an answer.
I don't want to put him at this spot because I feel like you've got somebody else, but also I fear you may not because he's one of the obvious ones. I feel like I'm gonna go number one. It's hard not to. He was just Mr. Even Keel. Like, what was it? Oh God, am I gonna regret my?
It was 73%.
I wonder if like was he maybe not great as like freshman sophomore year? I don't know.
I feel like he was usually pretty good at the line, but
that's what I thought. Mm. I'll put him at three.
I'll stick him at number one. That's what I said before. I knew the facts. So,
all right, two more guys. Giving out this guy's bobblehead Tuesday night against Michigan, Mr. Robbie Hummel.
God damn it! God damn it!
One.
That's who he's gonna be. My one. He was gonna be my one.
I had a feeling he would probably be on this list.
Style.
After you said Etuan, I was like, he's not going to put two guys from the same team.
I know.
Son of a bitch. Four.
Well, and here's the thing with Rob. I mean, he was awesome free throw shooter. But, like, I don't ever recall him, like, winning a game at the line. Yeah. But I do remember one game he sucked at the line. We still won. High point, the game you caught the ball, Webby, in the crowd.
Yeah.
When you're coach. Yeah. He stayed over, I remember, like, afterwards. Because he missed, like, four that game. Yeah. And that was just, like, what in the heck? But
shout out to my cat-like reflexes.
That was a great catch. All right. And lastly, Carson Edwards.
Ooh, not who I thought you were going with. Well, wow, this list sucks.
it's a tough list.
He's my five. I thought you were gonna put Klein on here because of his miss against
Virginia. Can't do it because of that miss. That is, and my dad and I were on the phone today. I was talking to him about this list, and I rattled off so many misses, and I will here in a second. But we still think, and I hate to pick on the guy, that was the biggest miss free throw in Purdue history.
Yeah.
I mean, with the circumstance, I mean, he hits that. It's a 3-point game.
Yeah, you probably foul.
Yep.
Yeah, you know.
And he hit the first one.
Yeah.
Like, hit the tougher one, you know.
Yeah, we hit the first one. I was like, all right, here we go. Then Yeah. Re-rank. Robbie was going to be number one. Dakota, two. I honestly think Carson, three. He shot so many free throws.
Mm-hmm.
Fletcher five.
I think that's exactly how I'd rank him, Webby. I think.
Yeah.
I'd still leave Fletcher four. Okay. I'd put Etuan five.
That's fair. I think the first three are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to move those three in that.
I also remember Juwan being at the line more than Etuan.
Juwan got better at the line every year. Yeah. And Carson, a lot of people don't remember, he missed the first of three against Tennessee. And then he was nails and made the next two to get the game in overtime.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
And then
I was watching that game in a hotel. I remember he missed the first one.
I punched the door.
After I was just like my legs just went like numb. Yep. Just like collapsed in my hotel room.
And you remember he didn't hesitate. He like dribble, or maybe like around the back, boom. Like no time. And but he also hit, remember his freshman year at Maryland, he won the game at the line.
Yep.
And it was funny. My dad and I were just talking about things like PJ Thompson, pretty good free throw shooter. Yep. But I automatically remember, I do remember him making big ones against Iowa State in the tournament. But I also remember him missing ones in the Big Ten tournament to seal the game against Michigan.
Yep.
In which Michigan would go on to win the whole Big Ten tournament. That was the year they had the plane incident.
Yeah.
And then, I just always remember it. Like, you know, I almost threw out David Teague or Carl Andre. I remember Carl missing a huge one against Indiana that would have won the game. I remember Juwan missing a big one against Illinois that would have won the game.
I
just remember the misses more.
I was listening to that game on the radio. I remember listening to that game on the radio. Yeah.
I almost threw Edie in there. I see Matthew Keller here. I almost threw Edie in there for a choice. But I was trying to stagger eras, but then I clumped each one and Robbie both then. So
you could also throw in, like, I mean, Ivy shot a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like he, maybe he did have quite a
Sasha few. Sasha was like, a pretty good free throw shooter.
Sasha was a good one.
Keaton Grant was a good free throw shooter.
He was. Yep. Honestly, a guy who got immensely better was Haas. Because he started, he was like 40 some percent his freshman year, and he was like, he was like close to 70 by the end.
That's true.
DJ Bird was actually a good free throw shooter, too.
Yeah, he was.
Tyrone Johnson was not.
No. Tyrone Johnson was not. Trying to think. Like, I feel like I've been making this because I was a kid, but like, I feel like Brian Cardinal was pretty solid. Like,
my dad threw out Carson Cunningham. I'm like, I remember Carson, but not enough to like put him on the list. But I think he was like a 90% career free throw shooter. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
What was Painter? You know what Painter was?
I couldn't see Matt shooting many free throws. I don't even know what Glenn was, to be honest,
back
in the 90s.
Biggie wasn't bad. Biggie wasn't bad. He got better. AJ got better
as
coming on. He had some big ones against, I feel like Michigan State at home that one year.
Good call. The game Rafe went nuts. The good call.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Chip or no Joe. I agree.
I thought about throwing just a random one in there to just screw with you guys, but I was like, nah, I'll actually go with five good options.
Marcus Green or something.
Nimajah, Marcus Green, or like anybody from Katie's last year or Matt's first year, like Corey Spates, Nate Manoy, EJ Nwosko,
Chris Lutz.
I was going to say Lutz was on my mind.
Throwback.
I saw this is a trivia. I just thought about
Kenneth Lowe led the Big Ten in free throw percentage.
That's right.
Yeah, I almost threw him in there too.
He might have been my number. I remember him
over the head.
He might be my number one. Do you guys? I saw this the other day. You might have seen it, but do you know who Painter's first 4-year player was? This is from Twitter, so I don't know if it's right or not. But I'm just gonna. I saw it. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Well, the guy I was gonna throw it out graduated with the other guys, so it had to be a guy from the year before that.
So this would have been 08, would have been his graduating
Marcus
year.
Green.
Okay, that's what do you got, Lynch?
Is 08 would have been his year, right? Graduating?
Would have been like, because he started what?
05?
05, 06. Was that Painter's first year? No, it was 05, 06.
05, 06 was his first year, yeah.
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 Was the guy a redshirt senior?
I don't know that part.
I have no guess because I can't remember back that far.
I saw it's Marcus Green because he was at the game. He was at the game on. He was the Oregon game. I saw something like, Painter's first ever 4-year player for at Purdue.
Like that, he recruited. Or, that.
I don't know if he recruited, but just as the first guy to say 4 years. Played his whole career at Purdue.
Because I know his first class that came in as a head coach, Kramer and Grant were a 2-man class. Also, Mark Walford was a walk on. So I almost said Wofford. I'm like, no, he graduated with Kramer and Grant. So, Kramer wasn't an awful free throw shooter, but wasn't the best either.
No.
Probably like 70% or so.
Wish he was on this team, though.
No. I would be interested to see a Chris Kramer from back then play with these defensive rules. See if he could do it.
I don't think Aaron Kraft could play with these defense
rules. Probably not.
That's Dr. Kraft to you now.
Is he a doctor?
Oh, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
He is.
That surprised me.
Yeah.
I wonder what Solinger's up to nowadays.
Sean Thomas.
It's amazing how Ohio State's had a lot of good players, but like none of them turn into great pros for a long time.
D'Angelo Russell was okay, but D'Angelo Russell there for a little bit. Russell there for a little bit. Obviously, Odin, like,
on
the jump.
Conley's still playing. Conley's still playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But William Buford, I mean, you just go down Coast the list.
Rufus. Saquon Cook, BJ Mullins.
I mean, when you reminded me that the last time they were in the tournament, it was EJ Liddell, and EJ Liddell's out of the league now.
I forgot about.
Yeah.
Because I totally forgot they were a 2-seed and lost Oral Roberts after at the Mackey. COVID year.
Yep, at Mackey. Yep.
Oral Roberts made like the Elite Eight that year, didn't they?
They had Max Asemus on that team who ended up going to Texas like a year or two later. Yeah. I know it's next year because we played that Texas team the next year. I think Asemus was on that team.
I know they're struggling this year. Oral Roberts.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That was a fun list. I was like, I got to take advantage of our free throw woes and make something out of it. So.
I was trying to think of when you said your blind rankings in the text. I was like, I wonder if it's like overtime games, if it was like, you know, like single possession games recently or something, or single possession wins, I should say. I did not think of free throws.
We won back to back overtime games at Nebraska now.
Yeah. There was it freshman year? Because that was when Fletcher dunked.
That dunk,
his one and only dunk.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I just said going to Nebraska, we always just have to lace them up. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. Thus, we should move on and talk about the next two games.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Iowa drops one. It's like that Maryland, who all of a sudden won two in a row. So now you got to think they're going to be pissed coming into Saturday. Yeah.
Focused. It's not pissed. They're focused.
Yeah, they'll be frustrated, but they got a great opportunity coming in with a top 15 Purdue team who they hung right there with the first time. I mean, you know, the first game, I don't even remember who went off. There was that dude that kind of went nuts from three-point range, and he usually is not that great of a shooter.
Yeah.
So that's – that's
Combs.
Yeah. So – we're going to have to contain those guys because I got to think, and their guard's name's escaping me. Somebody help me. I don't know why. They're a good player.
Sturts.
He was kind of held in check the first time we played him. Got to think he's going to have a better performance this time.
Yeah, he had some big shots down the stretch in that first game. I think he had like a step back three because him and Braden are friends. They camped over the summer with each other. But yeah, it's trying to see and pull up the stats from that.
Yeah, Combs went off that game. Sturts played well that game. Monahue? Am I saying that right?
Sounds right to me.
But Kel Combs was the one that really had a big game because he had a career high that game. And was just hitting everything.
He was four or five from three. I don't think he was a good free throw. I don't think he's a great three-point shooter.
Of course not.
I think he's shooting 36, almost 37% on the year, so that's not bad.
No.
The last 2 years, he shot 20 and 33, so he's obviously shooting it better this year.
They were 48% from downtown that game, too. They were 12 to 25.
Yeah, and Purdue was 6 of 14.
I mean, Carver Hawkeyes Arena has been pretty kind to Purdue the last 10, 15 years. But that was with Fran.
Yeah. Yeah, Purdue got – that was just kind of an all-around game. Every starter except CJ was in double figures that game. CJ actually ended up with 9, so he was close. And then everybody who played scored. Jacobson had 7, Meyer had 5, Benner had 6, Harris had 3. So I think it's going to be one of those games where it's just going to take – everybody. I mean, Iowa's a team that kind of drives you mad because they waste all the time in the shot clock, and then just one of those back break for three or whatever it may be.
I hate the tip time. 5 o'clock on a Saturday on Valentine's Day. That sucks.
Yeah. Actually, the last game, both teams shot 27 of 51 from the field.
Wow.
And Purdue just shot 12 more free throws and made, they were 19 of 22 from the line, which was huge, obviously.
It'd be nice to do that again.
Iowa was 6 of 10. So,
and this sold out game on Fox, too, because we're on national television this weekend again.
Oh, I thought it was Peacock.
It's on Fox. That's what I saw earlier today.
Yep, it's Fox. Michigan games on Peacock.
Okay. Interesting. Fox, 5 o'clock. I just always thought the weird tip times were.
Peacock, yeah.
Except there's a CBS tip at 12:45 Saturday between UCLA and Michigan.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
I don't know.
But you've said you thought this would be the game, and I think you both really thought that this would be the game for a hiccup. Do you both feel that way still after Tuesday, after what happened last night with them in Maryland?
I feel a little better about this game, even with Iowa dropping one at Maryland. Obviously, the familiarity is going to be a thing. I'm just hoping that they don't shoot the way they did last time, but obviously we have to shoot well too, so there is that caveat. But yeah, this Iowa's pesky now with McCollum at the helm. They're a good team, and obviously, yeah, they'll be looking for some revenge.
I guess I'll stick with what I've been saying. I think Iowa's going to win a close one. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe, you know, I'm just throwing it out there to get some reverse psychology going. I can see Iowa winning by like 4 points type of thing.
Yeah.
Hope I'm wrong. I hope we just bury him. But and we've done that before, Carver Hawkeye, when we've hit everything in sight. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Something I've looked at this game for like 2 weeks and be like, I don't like that. I don't like that where that falls on the scale.
Yeah, and especially the way you've got Michigan on Tuesday. They're going to be number one in the country more than likely, I assume, just because of Arizona dropping one at Kansas.
Yeah, I don't see them fall into UCLA, but
yeah. And obviously IU on Friday, so two massive games next week. But
yeah, and IU will have 6 days of rest before that game.
Yeah, yeah.
This team ain't overlooking this game.
Yeah, I don't think they're overlooking.
They can't overlook anything at this point. Yeah.
And I guarantee it's being reminded in there. If you want to be champions, Big Ten and national title, you got to be where your feet are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and yeah, they got to take it one game at a time. And to win the Big Ten, they got to have help. Even if they run the gauntlet and go undefeated, Michigan's got to lose another time just to get a tie. So
yeah, which they do have to go to problem. Illinois. So
right,
yes.
And they play Michigan State again too.
Yes, it's at it's at the at home
Michigan.
For them.
It's at Michigan. Yeah, it's at Michigan.
But it can all still happen.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, it can absolutely happen.
I mean, it took them until 10 minutes.
They played with their food last night.
Yeah,
so.
Against Northwestern. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had some help from the officials, but
conference plays wild
anymore.
I mean,
look at Wisconsin. I have probably the two best wins of anybody in the country at Illinois and at Michigan.
And in my opinion, they got screwed Saturday. So,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's and obviously you got like Iowa losing to Maryland. Like, you know, Illinois supposed to go to their West Coast trip. Like, those can get weird.
Yeah.
USC is a pesky team, especially now they got, you know, little Arenas in the fold. He's a shot maker.
Not like UCLA's. His dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shot maker.
Yeah. And really? UCLA's tough. Yeah, I know. But yeah, it's always funny just when one of these teams is on a run. We saw it obviously with Purdue a couple years ago, and like this team's not going to lose, and it's like they drop a stupid one or whatever. Like
College basketball plays with your emotions. I mean,
yeah,
our good buddy who's an Illinois fan said he went from thinking Illinois could have beat the dream team to now they're not going to win another game all in 1 week. So
yeah,
but that's what the college basketball does to you. It just it's a long season, and there's highs and lows, and.
Mm-hmm. That's why you have to remain optimist.
I know. It's just
this is not football.
That
is
three
a
game
long ways from it.
Well, yeah, but that three game losing streak just like what we said rattled me a little bit. So
it's total. There's still a lot of season. They just showed that they play hard. Yep. They're going to look exactly like how we saw at the beginning of the season of world beaters. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, can everyone do it for 40 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you can, then this team is, regardless some of where they lack defensively, and guys should be able to shut down perimeter wings, have post presence in regards defensively. If they're going after loose balls and they're rebounding like they are with that intensity, it won't matter how they play defensively, because they're going to be in your grill. They're going to be handing off guys, and you're going to be meeting someone in the post when you try to drive, and you're going to have to go straight up. Either Benner's going to take a charge when he gets in the game. I mean, that kid is just phenomenal.
The timeout play he had was huge.
Oh, so heady. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just see Graydon 2.0, but better.
Yeah, he's more of a scorer, but yeah.
Grady was a better rebounder. Smart player. Yeah.
But he can become a better rebounder. I mean,
he could.
Yeah, he's not bad for playing out position right now.
He's a freshman. Yeah. Or Riley will be in there playing the four. I don't know. Down the road here. I keep forgetting he's redshirting this year.
Yeah, they said he's playing really well in practice. Yeah. So.
But there's still a lot. Stay healthy. Here's the thing. Everything's still in front of us.
You're right.
You're 2-0. We would all have been happy with just being 2-0 right now. Go and having a chance at Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a tough environment. You win another one, you worry about Michigan coming to town.
Yeah, you win another one, you got three straight at home against two good programs, and one program that's hot all of a sudden. Three great environments. And we've seen them slip up a Mackey, you know, and not play well, but
Mackey's going to be rocking the next three games too.
And
Michigan State looked horrendous outside sometimes offensively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can play defense, but unless Fears creates for them, they do not look great.
Yeah. He'll do a dirty play every game, at least one too. So, but what are your guys' score predictions for the game?
I'm going to go Boilers 74, Iowa 68. Player of the game, I'm going to go Braden Smith. Just the matchup with Sturts again. He didn't have a great game against Nebraska. He almost had a triple-double.
I was going to say, I still can't believe he hasn't got one yet.
Yeah, it's close. I just felt like towards the end, little things. Yeah. He didn't shoot well, I should say. I think he goes off on Saturday.
Okay. I think it's going to be a defensive battle because of them running the shot clock down. It's going to be more of a possession game. I'm going to go Purdue 68, Iowa 64. I think player of the game is going to be Drake Hoffman-Wren. I think he's going to have a double-double. It's probably going to be a 12-12 kind of game.
Take that.
Hope I'm wrong. Well, I'll say Iowa 72, Purdue 68. Hope I'm wrong. I'm sticking to my guns, but hope I'm wrong. I'm trying something different here. Because usually I always flip my pick, no matter how I'm feeling. So my player of the game will be, I think CJ Cox gets 15 points. That mid-range going a little bit. He did hit two big threes the other day. But this is a consistent game for him. Bold predictions?
Purdue shoots 45% from three.
We do that, then I'm feeling really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into my bold prediction for next week, since we're not going to be afterwards. We're not previewing that game, right? Probably not,
yeah.
Okay. Bold prediction.
Yeah, go ahead.
Purdue wins by 20 next Tuesday night.
Oh, God, I hope you're right. I might have to run down to the court with my shirt off if that happens. Yeah. I will be in attendance. So
yeah.
I'll stick mine with the Saturday. Purdue shoots 90% from the free throw line. I just don't know how many they're going to shoot. That's right. The thing. So I don't think they'll shoot as many as they did the first matchup. But hope I'm wrong with the score, of course. But I just not wavering. I don't know. I said at the beginning of the week, I had a good feeling about Nebraska, bad feeling about Iowa. So I'll keep it at that. Sure.
Or get the bad feeling out.
But some news regarding next basketball season came out. Purdue's going to open the season neutral court game in Las Vegas against Gonzaga, a team they've become real familiar with as of late.
Yeah, is this – I'm trying to think when the last time we opened the season with, like, a major opponent, and I cannot think of one.
I mean, I can think of a lot of like second and third games, like when Villanova was defending champs. Mm-hmm. It was like the second game, but I don't remember the season opening game with a big time opponent,
especially a neutral game. It's, you know, usually it's always a home game against a.
I wonder if they'll come the next year and play in Indy. Then I wonder if this is kind of like the deal we thought we had with Arizona, and they backed out.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah,
I would say probably because they're joining the Pac-12 next year as a basketball school. Pac-12's back.
That's right.
Good call.
That's right.
Yeah, that's why it's in Vegas.
Well, and it was interesting on Golden Black. Like Gonzaga's shown interest in playing us during the Big Ten season when we're out west, and Matt doesn't want to do that. Which can't blame him. Fair.
Yeah.
Can I say something? I want to say something about that. Those these stupid games, Ohio State versus Virginia this weekend, and then next week
Duke and Michigan.
Illinois in the last 2 years, they've done like UConn or they've done Duke.
Right in February. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
It's because those schools aren't in premier basketball conferences. You don't see the SEC like scheduling up any Big Ten opponent this time of year. It's not like Florida's going up to Wisconsin and playing them.
They're doing so football stupid. This time of year. Mercer, baby. Mercer at Georgia.
It's an ACC school that's always doing this, too.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand.
Like, I don't
it's
either.
It's a neutral site game.
I don't see how it benefits neutral? Anybody.
It's neutral this time?
Last year it was for Duke and Illinois. It was in
Massachusetts Garden. Yeah. I thought Virginia was actually at Ohio State this week, and I wasn't sure if that was neutral.
You'd have to look that up. But like, is Fox giving the TV deals? Like,
it's in Nashville. What the hell?
Is it Bristol Motor Speedway?
Bridgestone Arena.
That'd be awesome. shooting on the bay.
What are we doing? Is this like TV money? I just don't understand.
I ask myself that about college sports every single day. What are we doing? I mean,
like,
got guys played 9 years of football.
Yeah, that just blows my mind.
Childress right now gets that sixth year today from Ole Miss through the court
system. That 25-year-old visiting Maryland.
Wait, Childress got his 6 year?
Yep. He won the court today as of now.
He should be preparing for the draft and be an undrafted free agent.
Exactly. He should be, but he obviously knows he can make more than NIL than. Where's that Duke game at? Duke, Michigan?
That's a good question. Look that up.
For some reason I thought it was DC or Philly.
It is in Washington, D.C.
Okay, I thought it was one of those two arenas. This is so stupid.
I agree.
It is the end of Big Ten
showcase.
It is the end of Big Ten play, end of ACC play. I understand the ACC, especially yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yes, it was. Caleb Wilson getting hurt.
Yeah, that's a blow. Yeah, for
that is a massive blow. Because him joining McCants and Hansborough is like the only freshman what they're averaging for points.
That's a killer.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just getting on my soapbox tonight.
That's all right. I don't like it either. There's a lot of these college sports I could go down rabbit holes and just start complaining about. But
just let's open an NCAA tournament to 128 teams. It's what the sports bettors want. So why not?
I don't even want it to 72. I didn't even like it when it went to 68.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
Well, but they won't. IU's going to get one of those last four in, I guarantee it.
Oh, they're in right now. Lenardi. Right, yeah. You didn't even have them as a bye or last four in. Yeah.
They're going to be a last four in team.
Well, I hope. That means they'll drop a few coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
They will. And I think they're going to get bounced first
game. I hope you're right. Attorney.
But it's just so dumb what money's done to college sports.
Sports is all corporate environment anymore. It's maddening.
Especially allowing these scholarship players to G League coming back during.
I hate that.
If one gets added right before the NCAA tournament, that's insane.
So in like maybe you guys know more about this than I do. So like the Alabama kid that now can't play, How about the games he already played and they won? Mm-hmm. If I'm a losing team, I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
Like that's
what Bucky McMillan was saying against, like, because they lost to, he's like, how are we going to be graded, like, when it comes to the NCAA tournament versus, like, because now all these teams aren't playing Alabama at the full strength, but we did and right. we lost. Like, that's a,
yeah,
it is a stupid thing that we're doing.
Yep. Right now. It's just, it's like ever since the pandemic, they just like hit the panic button. We're going to throw everything out there, not give any thought of it.
Literally.
I mean, yeah. It was like after the pandemic, it was like COVID year, portal, yeah. NIL, we're doing another it all. COVID year.
Another COVID year.
All at once. We're not going to think about this at all. We got to make up for lost revenue of people not being able to come to games and send in their cardboard cutouts at the games.
That cardboard cutout stuff are going to look back. 20 years.
Oh, it's weird, man. I saw highlight the other day from
Spencer,
and it was like weird. You could hear all the chatter with the players and everything.
You had like certain coaches like sitting in the stands, players sitting in the stands. Like,
yep.
What are we doing?
I just remember baseball and watching the White Sox, and then you put cardboard cutouts behind the like the dugouts at the rate, and I was like,
that had so to have been. I feel like that sport out of any of them would have just been weird to play with no people. Like football, there's enough commotion going on. Like but baseball is such a, like, not a lot of commotion going on the field before pre-pitch.
I don't know if you were watching games. That's when I really got hooked again. And you could hear the Dan Ryan, like the cars going.
Oh, yeah. Got to think the janitors at that stadium got some awesome home run balls. The stadium's like, they're the only ones working out there. Like, there's another ball in this row. I'll take this one.
Oh, I was going to say groundskeepers, too. So
Weird time. Weird time. Man.
We'll pick some games.
Yeah, let's pick some games. You got them up? Somebody got them up?
Yeah, I got them. Okay. Next Big Ten game is Friday, 8 o'clock Eastern. On Fox, you've got number 10 Michigan State traveling to Wisconsin, coming off a huge win at Illinois.
I like Wisconsin; they're hot. I like that place to be jumping
too. Yeah, two back to back. They're a team that they're in right now, but they, and this, if they win this game, this is a way to really, like, you know, get them and maybe to like to a top 5-6 seed. I would think.
I'm glad we played up there when we did.
Yeah.
Yep. But defense travels. Give me Sparty.
Okay. All right. Saturday, 12:45 Eastern on CBS. You've got the UCLA Bruins. Mick Cronin complaining about something, traveling to Ann Arbor to face the number 2 Michigan Wolverines.
Sky Clark might be back for the first time since January 3rd. I read, but I don't think it'll matter. Give me Michigan.
Yeah, give me Michigan.
Michigan large.
Yeah. Also Saturday, 1 o'clock on Big Ten Network. Northwestern travels to Nebraska, coming off a loss against the Boilers.
Nebraska large.
Yeah.
Cats will give him a game.
Martinelli will give him a game, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. He is their team. So.
Arrington Page isn't bad.
No, he's not.
He's a former high 4 star. Classic Big Ten matchup at 3 o'clock on Big Ten Network. Penn State travels cross country to Oregon.
Oregon, I guess. I don't care. Yeah.
Although, you know, Penn State just beat Washington at Washington last night.
Yeah.
I was watching that game until I fell asleep.
And they gave USC a game.
Penn State's been pesky.
They're pesky. Like, their coach
is good. I was talking to one of my sales
such reps, a tough job.
He was like saying how bad Penn State was. Like, Penn State has given a lot of teams a lot of games. Like, they just haven't been able to close. So
that's the toughest job in the Big Ten, I think.
Give me Penn State in this one. I think they beat Oregon.
I'm going to take Oregon. Just now that they got Biddle back, I think that makes them a little different. The revival of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Number 15 Virginia plays Ohio State in a classic Big Ten venue, Nashville.
Yeah, Ohio State's not, fans aren't going to travel for this. They could care less. Give me Virginia.
Yeah.
Give me Virginia. I don't know who's going to attend this game.
So I don't care. Another classic Big Ten matchup, 9 o'clock on Saturday, Big Ten Network, Minnesota travels out to Washington.
On Valentine's Day, that's going to be a highly rated game. Give me Washington. I don't trust Minnesota.
Yeah, they're
weird.
So weird. What were you saying?
Called it last week. Spin your head.
That was a good call last week.
So they're very inconsistent, but I just see that team's going to be pesky. coming
oh, yeah.
in,
like, yeah. in he's a good couple coach. Years
once he gets recruits.
He's a good coach.
If they can keep people, too.
That's what they struggle bad. Even in football, they struggle with that.
Yeah, they just got so much. I mean, you got hockey, wrestling.
Cold as shit.
But I'm gonna take Minnesota in that one too. Yeah, I like Nico. Actually, I like both these coaches. Sunday, East Coast former Big East match. No, not Big East. Never mind. I'm stupid. Maryland plays Rutgers at noon on FS1.
They came in as brethren in the Big Ten, all for the TV markets. And when you go to New York City, a lot of times you can't even find a hotel that has Big Ten Network in it. So where's that game at, Rutgers?
Yeah.
I'll take Rutgers.
I'll take Rutgers, but, too.
Nah, I'm going to go Maryland.
Three-game winning streak.
Oh, boy. Coach of the year, watch out.
Don't let them get hot. And then primetime matchup on Sunday, 1 o'clock on CBS. The Hoosiers travel to number 8, Illinois.
All the pressure's on Illinois in this game. Oh, I think they get Stockovich and Boswell back. At least little Stockovich will be. They need
Boswell back for this type of game.
Yeah, they do, because if Wilkerson goes off, my gosh.
Yep. Although I will say, I saw a stat because he put up 40 against Oregon the other night. Like, I saw a stat of like Wilkerson versus like good teams versus bad teams, and like he's shooting incredible against bad teams, but his numbers against good teams are still pretty good, but like it's like he's shooting like 30s. Yeah.
I'll take Illinois, but I think it's a close one.
I think it's like on Tanner's birthday too, nonetheless.
And your wife's.
Yeah.
That could be a birthday present. She's not your grad.
We're gonna be out to dinner or out to lunch at that point. But
good plan.
Yeah, I think Illinois wins, but I think it's like I think it's 15 or less.
Yeah, if they lose this one, watch out.
Oh man, yeah.
I feel dirty in saying this, but I actually think IU might win it.
They've shown if they shoot, they can beat anybody.
I'll never root for IU, but if they had to beat somebody, I wouldn't mind it being Sunday.
This is what I'm rooting for. It could be hilarious either outcome. Yeah. It could be that's either outcome could be hilarious.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Your podcast on Monday will be the sky's falling or it's baseball.
I might
season.
Be by myself on Monday if they lose.
Yeah.
No, he'll come and say it's baseball season.
And then he'll complain about that a month in. Like, yeah.
There's nothing to report about first games on Friday.
I meant like a month into baseball season, they'll be complaining. So.
Yeah. Well, he can't complain in February.
I mean, when the regular season gets going, like 2 months from now, he'll be complaining.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday games, since we're probably going to have a pod before then, 8:30 on Peacock, UCLA travels to currently number 10 Michigan State.
Sparty.
Yeah, I think so too. 8:30 on Fox Sports 1, Wisconsin travels to Ohio State. Big game for Ohio State in this one.
Give me Wisconsin again. I don't trust Ohio State.
Wisconsin on this one.
I'll take Ohio State this one.
I think they're going to get fired at the end of the year.
If they miss the tournament,
it'd be interesting who they go after if they do.
John Gross. That's my pick.
Billy Donovan. My pick. Ryan Storch.
Shut.
They do have the money to lure somebody and he's succeeded at a football school.
That's actually slightly terrifying. Florida. You say that now because it actually makes some sense. Oh God!
Think about what they've done to the Chicago Bulls team. Do you want to be around like with a bunch of guards?
So, if something like that happened, I don't see him leaving. Do you think like the Bulls would call Painter?
No, they call Shire.
They're going to call Shire, but they're in there.
Which would be the dumbest decision on his part to leave Duke.
Here's the thing. Michael Reinsdorf does not have the money to buy it out, nor would he. Because they're over-leveraging building apartments around that stupid United Center.
Yeah, who wants to live around there?
God, the West Side? Oh, my God. Mm.
That's what they're trying to gentrify over there now.
Yeah, they are trying. Yeah, you're right.
That's why SB is getting the Sox in 29.
This actually could be a really good game on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on Big Ten Network.
A lot of games on Tuesday night. Man.
Yeah, we got three more to talk about technically. Well, with this one, including this one, number seven, currently Nebraska travels to Iowa.
Ooh,
this is gonna be a good game.
I like Iowa.
I think I like Iowa in this one too.
I think I, yeah.
Who wrote better corn?
What's the next game?
Who would you pick, Lynch?
I said Iowa.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Minnesota at Oregon, 10:30, Fox Sports 1.
Oregon against? I don't know.
Minnesota, they're sweeping the West Coast. I'm taking
it. Spin your head.
I think Wich wants to be Goldie. He was Debbie one time in high school. He wants to wear the Goldie the Gopher outfit, spin his head.
And then finally, I guess we can give our score prediction on this one. Obviously, our headliner, 6:30 Peacock on 6:30 Eastern. Presumably number one, Michigan, which maybe top 10 Purdue, maybe top 10.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it will be 10 probably.
Yeah. When's the last time the number one team came to
Purdue? I was trying to think about that.
Was it Indiana in 2013?
That's the one that sticks out to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't Villanova?
No. I think they were like three.
Yeah, they were top five, but they weren't one. I think it was Indiana. I think. I can't think of any others.
I'm sure we'll know. Well, assuming Michigan State is number one. Assuming Michigan is number one, I'm sure there'll be a stat.
Yeah. Robbie, how about bobblehead night for the first 2,000? So that means mostly students. love when they do that.
This game's a 6:30.
Yeah, I will be there, but I had to take afternoon off work just to make sure I got there. I even if we lose Saturday, I feel good about this one. I don't know why. Maybe just the Mackey magic, the optimism of Purdue at home for me. Purdue 77, Michigan 72.
Yeah. Lynch already picked Purdue by 20.
Yeah, I hope he's right.
82-62, Dusty May gets the technical.
Like an Iowa State in reverse. Give me that.
I mean, or like the Michigan game last year. That was a game I got to slightly. I got too late, and it was like you walked in that place. Guns
ablaze.
Yeah, that place was rocking when I walked in.
If we win Saturday, it will be rocking no matter what. But if we win Saturday, it's really gonna be jumping.
Yeah, I guess that's top 10 ranking is pending Saturday. I'll pick Purdue. I'm gonna say it's a higher scoring game. I'm gonna say 87-82.
Woo. Yeah, we've seen some shootouts between those two teams in the past. So,
yeah.
I think they go cold. That's what I think happens.
Yeah, Yax will be. It'll be interesting. Cadeau's played a lot better than I thought he was. He'd been playing Mara. I mean, I think Mara is going to be a big X factor because last year when he played at UCLA, Braden essentially made him.
Mm.
I mean, they'd take him out because he couldn't handle Braden in the pick and roll. He's obviously he's a lot better this year. I think that's going to be a huge factor is Mara.
Agreed. Watching them against Ohio State, I mean, Ohio State gave them a game for 10 minutes. And I was like, what in the world is this? Yeah. And then they turned it on.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they're impressive.
Yeah, they are.
They're impressive, but I think they're beatable.
Oh, they're beatable.
Yeah.
They're not Miami, Ohio.
They're beatable. They you know what sucks for Miami, Ohio? They could go undefeated and be a 10 seed.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
I feel bad for
it's
them.
Like, what was Wichita State that one year? When
they were 8-9 because they lost. Yeah. Or because weren't they 8-9?
I thought they were 32-1.
No, they were. God, because they played Kentucky in the second round. Kentucky beat them.
Yeah.
But Kentucky was 8-9, so Wichita might have been 1. God, I don't remember.
We're talking the one with Van Vliet, right?
Whatever year they were, like, undefeated.
Yeah.
I think that was Van Vliet. Was
Julius Randle and Kentucky made a run to the championship and lost to UConn.
Yeah. 2014.
Yeah, I had Kentucky win it all, and I won some decent money in a bracket competition.
Yeah.
No.
It's going to be interesting what happens Tuesday night, but got one on Saturday.
Yep. One game at a time.
Yep. Exactly. 1-0. With that, let's pay some bills.
Let's do it. Then she got the reach.
Yep, I got the read and get the ad up. The Bullet Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mush, serving Boilermakers since 93. Mad Mushroom is located in the heart of West Lafayette and is well known as the home of the original cheese stick. But when any of the crew of the Boiler Breakdown is in town, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer, and try out the latest pizza of the month, which is the Taste of Chicago. Speaking of Chicago, our signature is their signature ranch topped with a spicy capicola, salami, red onions, Chicago style, spicy jardiniere, and mozzarella cheese, finished with Italian aioli drizzle. So next time you're in town, order online. Use the promo code BREAK526. That's BREAK526 for any $5 off order over $20. That could be the pizza of the month, cheese sticks, grinders, you name it. You can use that promo code, but you got to order online. So next time you're in town, go ahead, Tanner.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't have a significant other for Valentine's Day, looking for a good meal, then watch the Boilers play the Hawkeyes right here. Break 526 for $5 off any order over $20. You can spend $20 very easily
there. Oh, yeah.
Very easily and get some good grub. So.
I'm going to say this. If you're doing that, you probably should get it for takeout and bring it home and at least get some flowers if you're going to do that.
Nah.
College date night.
Yeah.
Sure. So, as always, Mad Mush, feed your head.
Yep. Another sponsor that helps bring the Boiler Breakdown to you all is this shop that's constantly coming out with new, great-looking Purdue items and other items as well. I'll let Webby tell you more about that.
Yeah, the shop's making hometown apparel since 2011. Started out in their garage, and I've got 3 retail locations across Indianapolis, 1 in Carmel, 1 in Brattleboro, 1 in downtown Indy. If you find yourself in the Indianapolis area, stop in, say hi to them. But if you're looking for a good deal online, make sure you go to theshopindy.com, use promo code BREAKDOWN, you get free shipping on your entire order. They're constantly running deals too, whether it be, you know, discounts for certain schools, events. Like I said, they've just come out with a couple new designs recently. Always running deals.
Good luck finding better looking hoodies than the selection they have on here. Yeah. And t-shirts too, but man, I'm a big hoodie guy. So I got a birthday coming up. Hopefully I sent the shop link to a few people. So hopefully, hopefully they listen and use the promo code. Yeah. More importantly,
be wearing hoodies this weekend. Be over 50 degrees. Perfect hoodie weather, folks.
At this point, I might as well be t-shirt and shorts weather.
Yeah, 45 the other day felt like 80. Yeah. Snow's melting.
Yeah. It's like what our good buddy said. Big winter storm. So we should have some midday conference tournaments going on.
It'll be here, fellas. It hit me this morning. I'm like, man, we only have, like, at the best case scenario, like, 6 or 7 weeks of Braden, TKR, and Fletch left. And
I saw John Rothstein's tweet 31 days from yesterday as a selection show.
Yeah.
Just wild.
It's like, man, it's coming.
Yeah. Anyway, I was listening to the for Pete Sates podcast, which was recorded before the Nebraska game.
I need to listen to that with Coach Odom and Payne.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. I mean, they said, like, yeah, they were talking about Payne, and they're like, 8 games left in the season. I'm like, oh my God, it's actually 7. What's going on?
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
Were they wearing the same sweatshirt in that?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't think it was the same sweatshirt, though.
It looked like the same sweatshirt. Yeah. Because I watched for a little bit before I got swamped at work, and I was like, what the?
Yeah, so nothing on the football side report. Practice starting soon. So,
They're going to need every minute of it.
Yeah. Well, there was the salary cap for rev shares going up like $1 million, but people are like, oh, actually, like the real number is actually like people are spending like $40 million. It's like, that's great. That's great. Oh, man.
People are going to start losing their jobs. How players end up, how they perform.
Yeah.
So
I think if we have a struggle another season, it's just we need to think about fan experience and build a dome.
Oh my God.
We're not the NFL.
You can dome Ross Aid.
No,
if you're this far into this podcast, this
do is like the south end, so they'll just put a tent over it.
We can't put a tent over it. It's not safe with wind.
Let's enter they'll figure it out.
We'll build a half dome. We'll be innovative. Do something nobody's ever done. Half the field's inside, the other field half outside.
And somehow we always end up on the uncovered side in the second half. We always end up picking the wrong side of the range.
That does not help fan experience of being on the east end and looking straight into the sun. It's all about fan experience at this point. And if you're not going to put a good product out there, let's build a dome and at least make it air conditioned.
Well, Lynch, you'll be mad at Webby and I because we renewed our tickets. So
I'm not mad at you. I mean, someone's got to fill the seats.
Mitch said, it'll be fine. No one will be there.
Nope, these two will be there. Would you rather have it be a dome and not hot as crap?
I don't want to watch football in a dome.
No.
You wouldn't have to worry about rain delays anymore.
No, that was
what, like the one we have every 5 years?
This year was a bad year for that, but this year is bad for a lot of things for football. So.
Yeah, that was the least of our worries.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, fan experience, you're a marketing guy. You should realize that that's what you'd want.
I thought you were going WWE something, like start bringing fans on the field or something.
No, but I hope that they do like the Walters check next year. That would be awesome.
That would be funny.
Like literally Bobinski shaking his hand. Like we got pregame before like anything like kickoff happens and then like show it.
All right, let's wrap this up. We're at what we just went down. So if you've been listening all the way, you're a real one. And thank you for watching. To you. So, fellas, let's boiler up, hammer down, and beat the Hawkeyes and the Wolverines.
Boiler up.